fast? You know, how is it that John's disciples are fasting and the Pharisees are fasting? And then Jesus answered, and he says, how can the guests of the bridegroom fast when he is with them? In other words, if you're at a big party and a wedding, and the bridegroom is there, and the whole party is for this wedding, and the bridegroom shows up, are you going to say, I don't want to eat any food? I don't want to drink any wine? You can't do that, right? Because the main reason the party is there is for the bridegroom and the bride, okay? So, you know, he says, if I'm here, then you don't have to fast. So what does all of this mean? So let's go a little bit further. How many of you guys like to fast? Anybody? You like to, that's good. You're one of the few. You probably learn the good reasons for fasting. So there are benefits of fasting, okay? But I'll be honest with you. I like to eat too much to fast. Okay, so anyway, we'll get to that. But anyway, so I don't think it's a normal thing because, you know, our body tells us, you know, midday, I got to eat lunch. Or you wake up in the morning, I got to have my coffee. I want to do this, you know. And then by 6 o'clock in the evening, man, you know, you're just ravenous, okay? Most of us, we're older. You know, you work all day, you come home, you look forward to a big meal. Okay, so we all like that, you know. And as soon as the hunger button gets pushed, we want to eat. I mean, here's a place that my brothers and I, you know, when I go to Hawaii, you know, we go to the outside islands, just the brothers, you know, four of us. And we went to this place, you're not going to believe it. Although this looks like Sushi Paradise, that's the name of the restaurant. And boy, they got good sushi, you know. So this is in Kihei, Maui, if you guys know Hawaii. But we have a great time. We love eating. You know, actually, we become gluttonous when we go out on these trips, okay? Okay. But the question is, you know, how important to God is fasting? Is it really that important? Okay? Physiologically, this is very interesting because a lot of research going on today about fasting. When you fast and you don't take a lot of calories like sugar, carbohydrates, you produce less insulin because you don't need insulin to push the sugar into the cells, okay? You get more glucagon. The glucagon tends to use all the sugars that are stored in the liver, and it also increases the burning of fat that you have stored up as you begin to starve, okay? Your metabolism begins to actually slow down as you fast, and the deeper you get into a fast, you can see your body is beginning to slow down. The body knows. The body says, no food, I got to slow down because I'll run out of calories, okay? So you begin to burn fat, okay? And a lot of people will say that the brain actually becomes clearer. You can even think better. Your body becomes so efficient that your brain becomes better. And animal studies recently, very interesting. They think that animals actually, there have been studies that show that animals survive longer by fasting animals, just keeping them on sort of a close to starvation, not starvation, but actually low-calorie diet. So you maybe you're a little bit hungry all the time. And some of these scientists that actually have been doing these studies, you're not going to believe this. They have lost significant weight because of the research that they've found, okay? But there is some contradictory research, so I'm not going to go that far. Okay, spiritually, fasting, this is what Jesus says. When you fast, you know what that means? God, Jesus, expects you to fast. When you fast, not do you fast. It says, when you fast, don't look so somber like, hey, man, I'm really working hard for God. I'm doing this, you know. You ought to just pat me on the back. And Jesus says, when you fast, act like nothing's going on because it's between you and God. It's nobody else. It's between you and God. So be happy. Don't tell people that you're fasting so that people can pat you on the back like you're some holy guy, like the Pharisees and a lot of people. So, you know, this is kind of a very important principle in that whatever you do, if you want a reward from God, don't go and parrot and tell everybody that you're doing this because you've lost your reward. It's between you and Him. It's like, you know, you're telling your girlfriend, my wife, I love you. You're going to tell everybody else, I love her, but except her. Really, it's between you and her. I love her. And that's really the key thing. And that's really important, okay? So spiritual fasting is really important because of another thing. If you look at the ministry of Jesus, what did he do? He got baptized by John, the Holy Spirit, and immediately the Spirit of God took Jesus out, and he fasted for 40 days and 40 nights. And you know what he was doing? He was preparing himself for his ministry. That's really what he was doing. Now, 40 days and 40 nights of fasting, we're talking heavy stuff here. I mean, you know, if you go without water for about a week, you're close to dead. So obviously he had to drink water. But 40 days of fasting, you're going to lose significant weight, and you're really going to be tested. So what he did was he was strengthening himself out in the desert, facing, taking away the physical world and really beginning to look at the spiritual world and developing himself so he could face the spiritual world as he started his ministry. This is really important for us to remember. This is what fasting does, okay? So Jesus was led. We read this over here. He was, we didn't read this. Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil, and he fasted for 40 days. And then Satan came to him, and he told him to do several things, okay? Number one, he said, since you're God, turn the rocks into bread so you can eat that. So the first thing that we realize is that physiologically, hunger is probably the strongest impulse that we have. I hate to read all these stories, but, you know, in the Nazi concentration camps, in people that have been, you know, lost for periods of time, there's actual cannibalism because you get so hungry. I mean, it's such a powerful desire, okay? So these were Satan's temptations. The second temptation is pride. Satan said, you're the Son of God, and since you're the Son of God, show it to me. Jump off this cliff and see whether the angels will save you. See, that gets to your pride, because now that you know you're the Son of God and you're like God, then Satan says, I don't believe it. I don't believe that you're really the Son of God. And then finally, glory. You know, we all like glory. No matter what we say, we all like glory. He said, look at all this world here, all these dominions and kingdoms before you. I'll give it to you. And remember, Satan owned it. Jesus didn't own him, but now he was a human. So he had these desires like us, glory, fame, ownership, and so forth. And he said, if you bow down to me, I'll give you this. This was not Jesus' realm anymore. This Satan, this world here is really Satan's world because Adam fell and he lost his authority in this world. Okay, so Satan came to him and attacked him in every physical way. And this is what fasting did for 40 days. And that helped him to overcome these differences, okay? So, you know, how did this happen? What did Jesus have to go through? And this is kind of what I believe we need to go through. Paradoxically, Jesus had to die to himself. In order to face all these physical temptations, you need to die to yourself physically. All these things of the world. Because as long as we hang on to these things, it's impossible for us to handle these temptations. Because our natural self says, I want this. I want this. I want this. So what Jesus did was he placed himself into the hand of God. Now, if you guys remember Philippians, it shows that God humbled himself. Jesus humbled himself, became nothing, became a servant, and came as a human being on this earth to live with us and to understand what it meant to be a human. Okay? And he also said, if you look at the woman at the well, the disciples came to him and said, hey, you know, you haven't eaten. You haven't had your lunch today. And Jesus says, no, I've had lunch. I'm fine. And they say, well, what do you mean? You know, what do you mean by that? He says, My nourishment, my food, my meat comes from doing the will of the Father. This is where he got his nourishment. Obviously, he's talking in the spiritual realm. Okay, so this is kind of what fasting will do to us. It'll bring us to another realm, and it'll actually begin to help us to see in a spiritual way. In fact, in some instances, you may begin to see Jesus. Jesus may actually begin to show himself, or the angels may actually begin to be visible to you as you deepen your fast, especially if you're willing to push and you call upon God and say, God, I want this from you. I want this. I want to know who you are. I want to know you spiritually. I want to leave this physical world and understand you as a spiritual person. Okay? I think ultimately it was the ability of Jesus to look in the spiritual world to say, not my will, but your will, in terms of his death and crucifixion. Okay? So our problem is that we hang on to self and we become like a cancer. Now, I say this not only in spiritual terms, but I say this in a practical way. You know, as parents, one of the hardest things to do is to give up control of your kids. You know, you need control, right? You need to bring them up to the right way. But as they get older, sometimes it's hard for us to give this control up. We may not know it, but we keep holding the child back. And unless you give up this kind of control, the kid will never grow up because you've always got your hand there. Okay, so you got to die to that. Sometimes even within a job, you need to give up control. You need to give up authority. You may be in one position and other people want to move into that position. You don't want to give it up. You want to hang on to it. Okay? Sometimes once you begin to say, look, I'm willing to give it up, people will begin to look at you differently and allow you to move up because, you know, it's not like you're somebody that's trying to grab onto everything, you know, and they begin to see that you're a bigger person, that you're not just kind of small person that's hanging on to something. So it's amazing that, you know, as we hang on to things, we actually lose things. And in a lot of ways, we need to die to ourselves so that we can continue to grow. And I think our whole life process, whether it's spiritual or even physical, for you to continue to grow from one stage in your life to the next stage, you need to die at each stage so you can move on. Okay? If you look at the love chapter, love is patient, love is kind, love does not insist upon its own ways. What is this? What is love? Love really means death to yourself. That's really what love is. And that's what God is all about. And that's what Jesus is about. Okay. And this is what I mentioned to you. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. Okay. So what do we try to do in a fast? The fast is we're really trying to die to ourselves. Okay. We're trying to eliminate the temptations of the physical world, open our hearts and eyes to see the spiritual world. And actually, in the fast, I think we're really trying to see who Jesus is. Now, if you look back at the past chapter, Jesus said, you don't need to fast, because while I'm here, I'm the bridegroom. You don't need to keep searching. So what are you searching for when you fast? You're really trying to get to a spiritual plane where you can begin to communicate and commune with Jesus. And that's really what we're trying to do, to see Jesus. You know, if every day we could see Jesus, you wouldn't have to fast. But I think this is kind of one of the things that's really the key thing as we spend time praying and seeking the Holy Spirit, depriving ourselves of food so that we can actually move to a different plane so that we can understand what's more important. And ultimately, what we're trying to see is who Jesus is. Okay? So, in conclusion, I just want to say the physiology of our bodies teach us how to live by dying each day. It's really part of our normal physiology. And I think spiritually we need to do the same thing. So we need to have God help us to learn to die to ourselves so that our hearts can be regenerated every day, our spirits can be refreshed, and we can see who Jesus really is and what it means to love. Okay, let's bow for a word of prayer. Our Father, we just thank you for this very wonderful dictum that you've shown even within our human bodies. And that is that many of ourselves just die every day and get regenerated. And Lord, help us to, in our fasting time, begin to be able to die to so many of the things that affect us so that we can begin to see who you are as we die to ourselves. We pray all these things in your name. Amen.